verse 10. Let me just read 8 and 9. So I'm not. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And it's neat that it was hidden. Satan didn't know. I think he knew who Jesus was. I think he recognized the anointing and the authority. And all Satan knows how to do is destroy. So he figured, the quicker I kill him, the better. If I kill him, I win. And God, in his hidden wisdom, you kill him, I win. It's just so huge. Oh, man. Can you imagine fighting against God and really trying and thinking you're going to win? Shoot, do you realize how twisted the devil is? Please don't ever listen to him. Please. I mean, if he's telling you to fear, don't fear. If he's telling you to be discouraged, come on. Don't be discouraged. Do you know how those little attitudes creep up in us, even towards people? I don't think I like him. Or I don't think I like her. Well, yes. You know how we get? That's not God. Don't listen to that stuff. The devil's a loser. We got to see to it that he loses in this day, in this hour, in our lives. Amen? Amen. Who knows that he has the power to deceive if you don't stay filled with the word? And who knows that he's here to steal, kill, and destroy? And who knows that that's possible if you don't stay in the word? But Jesus did everything necessary to defeat and destroy him and give us that victory. Life and death is where? The power of life and death is in your tongue. If we weren't major players in this whole picture, God would never put that kind of power in your tongue. He would just let you go to church and he'd just cover everything. Nope. He's telling you and I to war, even with our tongues, and even speak life. And even when you're feeling worried, you're speaking life and victory and the promise of heaven. Even when your body's in pain, you're not loving your own life unto death, and you're speaking the victory of the cross. See what I mean? You start feeling sorry for yourself and getting yourself all caught up in this thing, you're going to make a mistake. That's like putting a big red bullseye on yourself. Say, here I am, I'm a target. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a target. I'm not a target. If you shoot at me, I read Ephesians 6, I'm walking with the shield of faith and it's able to quench how many darts? How many? So they really don't have to slip through and hit us, do they? The Bible says that the shield of faith is able to quench all. That's why I'm not a fan of, well, God allowed and God's this and God's that. That God allowed thing has crept into the church and it's created a very passive people that laid down their shields and say, whatever will be. He's sovereign and he knows all things and he's in control, you know. Man, I don't like that kind of doctrine. Never preached that in your younger days, did you? I don't know if I heard a word about it. Just kidding. Before I was born again in 95, I would have believed that. I would have accepted that. It wasn't until I got alone and closed the bedroom door and opened the Bible and wanted to know the truth with right reasons. I wanted to know the truth, not to prove somebody wrong. Don't go seeking God for truth because you want to prove somebody wrong or you won't hear truth. God's not playing that, see? John 7 says, if you will to do his will, you'll know the truth concerning the doctrine. Your motive is huge. The reason why you're seeking God has to be for him and his glory and his name's sake, so that you fulfill everything you were created for and called to. The reason you close your door and pray, man, it can't be for special favor and power and to prove somebody this. It's got to be for him. It's all for him. If you will to do his will, you'll know the truth concerning the doctrine. Okay? You understand now why it says the pure in heart shall?
That's right.
God gives grace to the, and he resists the proud. Please don't be proud. Please don't have an attitude. It's worthless. Watch, your opinions are worthless. They're meaningless. They're frail, and so are mine. The Word of God is forever. Amen? I'm not being mean right now or smart. I'm just telling you. That's the truth. Verse 10. So we just covered that Satan didn't, he thought to kill Jesus was the answer. He thought that when he was born, because through Herod, he killed all the kids. Remember? Do you remember how he killed all the kids through Herod? He thought the answer was to what? Get rid of the man of God, prophet of God, son of God. Amen? Welcome, ladies. Bless you. He thought the same thing back in Moses' day. Remember? Kill the kids. There's a deliverer coming. We'll kill the kids. So he played right into the hand of God when he killed his son, Jesus Christ, because he became the sacrifice and offering for us all. We might get into that in a little bit. But look at verse 10. The reason that he did this through Christ and he kept it a mystery until now is with the intent that now, I don't usually do this, but say now with me. Now. Not tomorrow. You get it? That now the manifold wisdom of God, that's like the varied or many-sided, many-faceted, the deep, many-sided wisdom of God. It's just so profound. The intent that now, that's a big word, now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. God wants to manifest and reveal his wisdom to the powers of darkness through us, his people. God wants to showcase himself through us. God wants to thump the works of darkness and destroy the works of the devil through his church. We're really not waiting on Jesus to come and deliver us. He has delivered us. We're really not waiting for Jesus to come and save us. He has saved us. We're really not. He has paid a price, and he has paid it in full. He said on the cross, it is finished. What you believe and what I believe about this is just, it's monumental. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Watch this. According to the eternal purpose, so he's revealing his manifold wisdom to the devil by the church. Now watch this. So a guy that was being puppeted by the devil, bound by drugs for 22 years, ruining his own life and his family's lives, and just a pawn of the devil, just serving him willingly, just like a brute beast by sheer instinct, just living and destroying himself. All of a sudden, in a moment, in a one revelation of this gospel of the love of God, new creature, totally on another side, able to destroy the very thing that he served. In a moment. Oh my, watch, not something you gotta go away and go to school for or grow in and wait 10 years to. I was serving me, thoughtfully serving me. I was really serving the devil. God, forgive me. I want to live for you. That'll change everything right there, won't it? Because all of a sudden, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead and defeated death and hell and the grave dwells in you. You were darkness, now you're light. You were lost, now you're found. The manifold wisdom of God. Now imagine the devil. For years, he's just pick his head up and put it back on. I got to finish my illustration. He can't put the head back on. Good boy. Good boy. You passed the test. So he's walking him around. Really? He's walking him around, and he has him at will, at his beck and call, because we're deceived. We're living for ourselves. We're, and we think, here's the deception. We think we're living for us. There's nobody living for himself.
Amen.
Jesus said it this way, you're either living for God or the devil. Either Jesus is your Lord and King, or Satan is your master. And we get so deceived, we say, well, I don't want to serve. I saw a little story one time, somebody laid it on my desk in my office once, and it was about all these people standing. And all of a sudden, the fence was there, and the devil came. How did it work? I think Jesus was there, and the devil was there, and they're walking through the people like this. And this fella, he's looking, and he jumps up on the fence. And all the people on the devil's side disappeared, and Jesus said, disappeared. And there's this guy, this fella, sitting on the fence. Nobody's around. It's a cool little analogy. He said, on this thing I was reading, it said that all of a sudden the devil just boop, appeared again. And he's kind of like he lost something. He said, oh, and he looked at the man, there you are. He said, whoa, don't be looking at me. He said, I didn't choose him or you. I'm sitting on the fence. He said, well, the fence is mine. And it all disappeared. Him and the fence. Jesus said this. Watch what he said. Either you're for me or you're against me. Or you gather to me or you scatter. The manifold wisdom of God destroys sin, its fragrance, its stench, its produce. It destroys sin through the blood of his son. So what was serving sin, what could only reproduce after its own kind, changed to produce life, and life even more. It's the beauty of the gospel. Oh, man. And here's the cool thing. That's why Satan wants you. He doesn't mind you not liking him. He likes you thinking you're in control. He loves that. He loves you thinking that it's all about you, because it's really all about him. And if that's the case, he'll just stay way back. Not sure how I got on this, but it feels right. He'll just stay way back and he'll let you just go. But see, here's the thing. Once you realize it was the devil, once you come to your senses and realize, it puts a fervor and a tenacity in your heart, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, the thing you used to serve, that by grace you were delivered, now you are determined to destroy. That's the church. It's the songs we sing. I once was lost, but now amazing grace, right? Maybe we ought to just sing that. Maybe just one chorus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now and found, was blind, but now I see. Amen. What did it say? We were once what? And then we were once what? But now we what? The lights come on. See, what's wrong with him is that he sees now. Really? He sees. It should happen to all of us. Amen? No, listen. Because I love you, I'm going to read it. No, I got it. Todd is passing me scriptures, interrupting my wonderful sermon. By the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can you tell we're free here? Amen. Yeah, don't get religious. God is all right with all this. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Actually 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. See, you can sit in a service like this and you can hear the things I was saying 3, 4, 5 minutes ago and go, yeah, right, whatever. And actually feel like, yeah, whatever. And feel like you're in control. It's just huge deception. Because Jesus is Lord and Satan's the God of this age. And it's not hard. The Bible says you know them by their fruit. Wow. Watch this. Who the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Why does Satan want to blind us? Why is he intent on deceiving us? Because the light of this gospel wants to shine and expose. He wants to open our eyes. Okay. Let me finish this in Ephesians real quick. According to verse 11, so we're making known the manifold wisdom of God. So I'm just using Todd as an example tonight. The same devil that he served is the same devil that he thumps through Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? That's the will of God. Watch this. Without any regret or mention of sin where God's spirit is concerned. Satan does that stuff. Well, yeah, but what about? Well, yeah. It's going. You're a brand new creature. I preach this all the time. It keeps joy in my life. Redemption means you're brought back to original value before sin. I'm standing right now spiritually, positionally in Christ and through Christ with the wonderful Holy Spirit in me. And I'm standing before Almighty God right now as I'm talking to you as a man never sinned. That feels so good. It really does feel good. That's why the devil wants you conscious of your sin, conscious of your weakness. Yourself, weakness. All of a sudden, you're disqualified to pray for the sick, disqualified to have courage. All of a sudden, well, I'm just a hypocrite. Well, I'm not this. That's deception. Watch this. I'm standing in the garden of God's delight in paradise, and I've never eaten a tree as far as he's concerned. Deep in my heart, I know better. And I love him because of it. Because that's his first love. It's God coming and saying, Dan, I want to wash you clean. I want you to fulfill the will that I called you. Dan, I've been pulling on your heart for 15 years. Stop ignoring me. Turn. Yeah, but God, it's too late. You don't know what I've... Yeah, I'm God. I know what you've done. Yeah, but God. Shh. I love you. Yeah, but God. Shh. I love you. Be washed and cleansed and filled with my spirit. Now the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Watch. Now what I was subject to because of my sin is in subjection to me in Christ. What I had no control or power over because I was deceivingly serving it and feeding it and fueling it, now I can crush it by the power of His Spirit.
Amen.
Man, you can feel that. You just feel that. It's like good. Come on, stay with me here. See, that's the manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal. See, this thing is forever. God's not nothing like the devil, see? That almost sounds, it's so contrast, almost sounds blasphemous trying to say. It's total opposites, total. Satan will even use people and he won't bother people that are serving him for a while. And they almost feel like it's good to just, you know. But he will get them. He will destroy them at some point. What God's done is forever. It's eternal. It's an eternal purpose. It's everlasting. I know it'll sound funny, but flow with me. A million years from now, he's not going to stop the music and say, wait, I don't think I should have saved Dan. There was something I forgot. I'm in. By the mercy of God, the blood of his son, I'm in. I'm no longer blind. I'm no longer deceived. I want to serve God. Do you understand? Yay. Watch, I'm in. And I'm never going to die. Ever. You say, yeah, well, it's appointed once for every man. That's transition. That's just absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hello, Jesus. So where's the fear in this thing? There is none. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's always with us. He's as close as the mention of his name. He'll never leave us or forsake us. It's the eternal purpose. Now watch. He accomplished it in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing else to do. It's done. It's time for us to walk it out. We got to walk out the gospel. We got to walk out the gospel. Why is it important to talk like this? Because if we don't get militant and we don't see we're soldiers in the army of God and we don't understand that we're equipped with power, we'll just be confessing Christians and we'll try to live a pretty good moral life and we won't hurt anybody, you know. We might be wrong. We might be hurting a whole lot of people by not laying a hold of this truth. Because God, see, we're not waiting on God. We're really not. Where healing and deliverance and freedom is concerned, God's waiting for us to say, yes. This is the reason Jesus says, if you come after me, you got to first deny yourself. It's the biggest stumbling block on the face of the earth. Yourself, your flesh, those desires, those dreams. They're all rubbish. They're zero in the light of him. True? Yourself is the biggest stumbling block. That's why the devil, he'll just play snake in the grass. He won't even let you. You might just think it's you. Oh, just this and that and this and that. If you ever really, really look at the gospel, he's talking about your life being his life. It's not your own. You're bought with a price. Lose your life to find it. Find it, you lost it. You get it? Okay. Watch this. His eternal purpose he accomplished in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access. What do we have? Boldness and access to him and confidence through faith in him. How many people and how many maybe in this room have felt unsure about their ability to approach God, to receive from God, to even pray to God? I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but I know what I'm saying is true. I've been a believer for 11 years. I've pastored for 8.5 of those years. I've been involved with a lot of hearts and a lot of people. And I know people tend to bite the bait of deception where condemnation and uncertainty and insecurity is concerned. Their spiritual identity seems to be almost up for grabs. Don't let it be. He loves you. Hebrews 4 says, come boldly, not arrogantly. Confidence and pride aren't the same thing. Did you ever figure that out? Sometimes people see people confident and think, what an arrogant, prideful person. And you could just be so wrong. Confidence and pride aren't the same thing. If he said, come boldly into the throne room of grace, what are we supposed to do? Walk in. Not even knock. You just walk in because you're a child of God, you're a son, you're a daughter. Father, I'm here. You told me to come boldly in, and I thank you for your love. And you have intercourse, interchange with him. Come boldly into the throne of grace and receive mercy and help in every time of need. Isn't that in Hebrews 4? You know why? Because we have a high priest, his name is Jesus. And he's passed through the heavens, the Son of the living God. And he's sitting there representing all mankind. And you got to figure this out. A man, capital M-A-N, a man, 1 Timothy, There's one mediator between God and man, the man. There's a man sitting in the heavenly tabernacle, the holy place. Not the place made with hands, the real, the true. Okay? He's sitting there as a man. Why? Representing man. So through man, our high priest, I have the right to walk what? Boldly in through the mediation. You understand these words now you're reading about? The mediation. That means the representation. He's like my defense. He's the middleman. He's representing and pleading my case to the Father. He represents me to the Father. Making intercession. He's pleading on my behalf. It doesn't necessarily mean he's there with his hands folded praying. He's representing me to the Father. He's my access. I have a right to go in because he paid the price as a man for all men. So huge. When you understand that, you have confidence because you understand the heart of the Father. He's far from rejecting us. While we were yet sinners, he sent the Son. He's not mad at us. He loves us and he wants us to receive that love and receive that confidence, receive that boldness and wear the mantle and go destroy the work of the devil. That's what he wants us to do. Now watch. We have boldness and access and confidence through faith in him. If my heart doesn't condemn me, 1 John says, I have confidence before God. That's why you want to just give it all up for Jesus. Because that little thing you hold is what pricks your conscience and violates your heart. That little thing that you're already hearing back here, that you know is not God and you're still going there anyway, that's what comes in and cuts away at your confidence. And then your heart starts condemning you. And then you don't know whether God even hears you, let alone whether you have what you asked for. Come on. That's why the pure in heart see God. Is this making sense? So I purify my heart and I live for God. I have no strings attached. What you see is what you get. No other agenda but Jesus. And I'm growing and learning. And I might make a mistake and stumble. But you know what? Deep down in my heart, I'm not thinking about stumbling. I'm thinking about serving Jesus. And I know that's true. And he's helping me. And in my weakness, he's making me strong. He's raising me up to be what I'm called to be. I have confidence before him. Whatever I ask, I shall receive. It's for his name's sake. It's all for him. Do you understand then? It's all for him. Watch this. We don't go around and do healing services and pray for the sick just so they feel better. So his name is manifested and glorified so that we have a stronger understanding and revelation of his love and his willingness and his power so we can live greater for his purpose. See, we're actually getting healed for him. It sounds funny, but it's true. It's all for him. I receive it for his name's sake. Because you know what happens? See, don't get deceived and say, well, yeah, but I'm not struggling too bad. I mean, it's only my back, my neck, and my knee. and some people can't even walk. I hear that when we go around praying for the sick. So go ahead and get your back, your neck, and your knee totally touched and totally delivered and know the manifestation of his love, his presence, and his power, and then go start going after the people that can't walk. You get it? Oh, yeah. You see? Amen. So this we're going a little different direction here than I normally go when I do a healing service, but I'm just trusting it's right. Right now, he has us going in with access and boldness and confidence to him. And then he says, therefore, I ask, don't you lose heart at my tribulations. Isn't that amazing? Paul's a really a bright fellow in the Holy Ghost. In other words, he's saying, so don't get all caught up in what I'm going through. Don't get caught up in the price I'm paying and what I'm going through, because it's not about me. Grace is sufficient for me. Don't get caught up in, don't lose heart because of my tribulations, or you're going back to that self-centered, self-serving place. And you're going to run from adversity. And all the devil's going to have to do is go, bleh! And you're going, ah! Serious. That's what he's trying to say. He's saying, so get your eyes off the tribulation. Paul's the one that wrote stuff like, we glory in our tribulation. Knowing it causes us to persevere, and perseverance brings character, and character hope, and hope can't fail because God's love is in us. Watch. We always love Ephesians 3 and the prayer on the love. Who likes the prayer about love? I mean, it's like we put it on the fridge and we read those scriptures, but But look what he says. I love this. I have this circled in my Bible. Verse 14, the first three words I have circled for this reason. He's bowing his knee right now to pray because of what he just wrote. Now follow me. He's praying for the revelation of love, that we would be strengthened in our man, and that the revelation of love would consume us and fill us with all fullness so we could fulfill the will and intention of God through the cross. Do you understand what he's saying? He's not just saying love one another. Be nice, be sweet. Don't talk bad about it. Help each other out and love one. No, no, no. He's talking about the love that motivated God to send his son, the love that put his son on the cross. Is the love he wants burning in us so that we crush the head of the devil to save humanity and set him free as the body of Christ. You get it? He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. For what reason? For the reason that he just spoke, the intent that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known by the church to the Prince of God. Now look what the devil, do you know the devil knows what this Bible says? So he gets us what? Against each other, divided, mad at each other, working against each other, get our eyes all off of purpose, feeling self-righteous and indignant towards one another at times and more qualified than others. Nah. We find ourselves all messed up. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Watch this. Where I'm concerned, it's about Jesus and you. Jesus first, you second. I'm not even in that picture where I'm concerned from my standpoint. And that should be your standpoint. Where Todd's concerned, it should be Jesus first and you and me second. And I understand family and priority and all that stuff. What I'm saying is it should never be about him where he's concerned. That's why Paul's saying, don't lose heart in my tribulations. When we're going through something in the church, we're quick to tell about it. We want people to understand what we're paying and the price and who said what and who didn't do what and did what. We want people to know and acknowledge and pray. And it's just all part of the cost. Just run the race. I can't get caught up in me. See? That's why I said this thing. Randy and I were talking about it laughing last week because I came here, one of the first times I ever came here, I said, none of you have the power to offend me. In this whole congregation, I looked at them all and smiled. I said, everybody look here. None of you, I won't grant you the right because it's not about me. And Pastor Don, he liked that. And he's been standing on that and declaring that. And because there's a revelation there. What do you say? I get out of the picture and I'm no longer a target. Come on, flow with me. Open up your hearts right now. What do you say? I get out of the picture and I'm no longer a target. There's nothing. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. Get out of the way. Pick up your cross and follow me. See, that puts even a whole new light on healing. Now we're receiving healing to just go on and do the will of God. I'll be not yoked up to anything but him. That's how you're thinking then. I've been weary, I've been laboring, I'm coming to him, I'm turning this all over to him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I'm going to live for the master with all my heart. You get it? Okay. Now watch, he prays this prayer about love. Well, let's just read it because it's good. That he would grant us according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. We all need that. He's praying that to fulfill this intention of God, verse 10 and 11. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. It's through faith, people. Why is he in me? Because the Bible says he's in me. It has nothing to do with how I feel. Why is the Holy Ghost on me? Because the Bible says he is. It's just simple. He's on me because the Bible says he is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he's anointed me. Not to feel good. Not just to feel, woo! He's upon me because he's anointed me. to set men free. That's why he's on me. Amen? That's why he's on you. That's why he's on the church. Correct me if you have to. How many times have the highlight of our service has been, oh, did you feel that when we were singing? And we'll go home with no revelation of who we are in him and what we're called to. We'll just say, oh, when we sang that song, my hair stood up. Holy Ghost was in the service. Now, he knows my heart. Some of you might be getting offended at what I'm saying. He knows I'm not. I want him to come. I don't care if all your hair stands up. Let it all stand up, praise God. I don't care if you want to flop and wiggle and giggle on the floor. Go for it. But get up and destroy the works of the devil. Walk in confidence, refuse condemnation, and live the word of God. You understand? Because he's upon us, because he's anointed us. Sometimes it's almost like we've done well because it's like, oh, we must have heard that third song because he came or something. It's like, we don't know he's here. You know, it's like, we're really going at it so God might come, you know. He's here. He's in us. He's here. And by these things, we reveal that we're walking way low of what we're called by these mentalities. Come on. They've slipped in on us. I've been in. Oh, God. No, I can't go there. Shoot. I just got stopped. I can't go there. I'm okay. Shoot. I've got to pray right now. I really do. Father, in all sincerity, you know my heart. We're praying right now that we would be delivered from these deceptions. That, Father, we're not condemned right now. We're not beating each other up in this. But that, Lord, we would not live shallow. We would not live for superficial things. And we would not call something less than the mark the mark. But that, Lord, you would make us wise unto these things, and that you would help us and encourage us and send us forth with revelation, Lord. Lord, let nothing satisfy us but what is your perfect and complete will in these matters. And I just thank you for that. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. My heart was getting torn up there about some stuff, so I had to pray. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
In love. So important. That you would be able to comprehend with all the saints. We're all included. What is the width? So it's God's desire that we all see this, that we all receive this, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. And then he just a hyphen there, and he says, to know the love of Christ. It passes all knowledge. See, it passes knowledge. That's how it's said. It passes knowledge that you may be filled with all the fullness. I'm not against good preaching. I'm not against Bible knowledge. But I'll tell you what. I want the fullness of God. I could preach you sermon after sermon and not have the fullness of God. Whew. You can be in a church that believes 100% it's God's will to heal and never see healing in the church. It's true. I heard a pastor say once, he said, there's churches around that almost fight to the death to defend the doctrine that they believe it's God's will to heal, but yet rarely see the manifestation of healing. It's one thing to have a Bible knowledge of something. It's one thing to know, gnosis, what the Bible says. It's another thing to have epinosis, the experiential revelation of God's love. Should pass his knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. All of a sudden, you just know the Bible. And when you're in counseling with the pastor because you're in trouble and having trouble and the pastor's quoting the scripture, you're finishing it for him because you think that makes you spiritual. Did you ever have that happen? I've had it happen, but I don't remember faces or names, but because that's not important. But I know many times somebody comes to me broken, hurting, life falling apart, and you start to quote a scripture to get their heart on the scripture, and they interrupt you and finish it to let you know, hey, I know that. And I'm thinking, no, you don't. You don't know that because you haven't become that. Yeah. We think we know because we can quote it. And we go to bed with fear. We wake up and worry. But we know what the Bible says. No. You know it when you become it.
Come on.
I don't care if it takes just... What is all that? We're bringing the house down, baby. God ain't honoring a building, Pastor. He's honoring His church. I'm kidding you. It's been just falling, huh? Okay. Now look. Look, now I'm not kneeling at an altar because it's an altar. I'm in my bedroom right now, okay? God, I don't just want to know what your word says and quote it. I want to know you. Fill me with a manifestation of who you are. Let the word come alive within my heart. I want to become what you call me to be. I don't want to quote it. I don't want to just know it. I want to be it. Lord God, thank you for Holy Ghost power in my life. Thank you for revelation and understanding. I love you and I worship you. I fear not. I've been redeemed. You've called me by name.
Yeah.
You got to pray like that. You got to get alone with God. You see? Man. Heaven forbid we have more Christians that talk about love and walk in hate. Preach what we shouldn't do and ought not do and go and do it. And then other Christians see that and that becomes a cheap justification for not following after him, but we'll look at, but because, yeah.
Amen.
It's all deception. It's Jesus. We're following Jesus. Everybody in this room could backslide and turn from the faith, including Pastor Don and Pastor Dan. Okay? And Bobby Carter still has to ask himself a question. What am I going to do with Jesus? You get it? Man, don't you forget that stuff. Okay? Okay, I know that's ludicrous because he ain't going nowhere. And neither am I. And neither are we. It was an example. You see? Let's say we all just, something weird happens and the whole church just says, man, we've been deceived. We've been preaching Jesus. It ain't Jesus. It's the trees. Okay? Now listen, a man still is going to have to decide in his heart what he believes. And it should not be connected any way, anyhow, to another man. But how many people are fleshing out or trying to flesh out other people's faith and all that stuff? Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Well, some say Elisha, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. That's exactly what he said. Jeremiah, Elijah, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He wheels to his men and says, but who do you say that I am? You know what he's saying? He's saying you will not rise above your revelation of me. Who do men say that I am? Well, some say you were a good man. Some say you were merely a prophet. Some say you were the Son of God. Some say sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. Some say you allow this, and sometimes you even hire the devil to do what you need him to do to teach your people. And some say, who do you say I am? You can't rise above your revelation of who he is. We got to get in the book and get alone and pray. Reveal yourself to me, Jesus, through your word. You follow me? Do you know a whole lot of people are saying a whole lot of things about Jesus? But who do you say that I am? Watch this. I believe it's his will to heal everybody.
That's right.
And I believe the church is heading strongly to the day where we're just going to see. I'm talking just in his presence. Nothing that's not God will stand. Just we're on the. I'm not just talking hype here. You can think that if you want. That's your privilege. Did you ever notice God doesn't come and robot and constrain your mind? He lets you think what you want to think. So right now you can think what you want to think. It's your privilege. But I know where my heart is here when I say this. I believe with all my heart that we're right on the fringe, right up on the brink of seeing the most extraordinary move of God.
Yeah.
I mean it.
Yeah.
Bring it on. I'm talking to where they all come and they're just all healed. And it's just because he's Lord and we all know it and we just cry and worship him and praise him and we're like, Jah. You know what I mean? You know how we get where we pray and we're like so fired up when it happens and we almost expect it when it doesn't, because that's been the scenario for a long time in the churches. Man, we should be like, almost like, huh? When it doesn't happen. We really should be. And God is realigning us. He really is. It's imperative because he loves people. God's doing it because he loves us. And it's important for us to be in this place. It's important for us to get back to the book of Acts where they brought everybody from everywhere and they were all healed. Okay? Okay. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. I said all that to get to this. Now to him who is able. See, I wasn't going to preach all that in Ephesians 3, but it just seemed good. Verse 20. Now to him. Yeah. To him who is what? Watch how much he sees us as sons and daughters. To him who is able. Now it's all about God. It seems like all of a sudden it's all about, he's the one that, who knows, he's the one that heals. He's the one that delivers. He's the one that saves. But watch this. To do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that works in us. Now to him who can go above what you ask, think, or imagine, through the power he's placed in us. He's able, watch, through us. He's able through us. And he can go higher than you can think. I got a bone protruding. So? Prayed for people with fusions, but I got a fusion. Okay, let's pray. But I already had the surgery. I understand that, but he's God. You never walk in a method with God, so I don't try to repeat things. You move with revelation. You fill your heart with the word. You preach the gospel with purity and with all your heart, and you step into revelation. Like God didn't slap mud on every blind fella he bumped into, right? So I'm not going to drag a wheelbarrow of mud around. I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. But I prayed for a little girl once. And this one touches me so much because she was suffering and she's just a teenager. And I tell it a lot because it just blesses me. But some of you are visiting. You probably haven't heard it. Anybody that knows me probably heard it. But I was in a setting where we're preaching the gospel and we're praying for the sick. And it was kind of cool because I was praying for this little boy. And I said to the dad, he doesn't have diabetes. He said, no. And it was like, really? It was like, well, who does? I said, well, who does? You're really close. And everybody's like, and they're pointing, it was the lady standing right here. She had diabetes. I looked at her and she's crying already. She's already getting it. She's already thinking, this is God. I'm about to be healed. This is fun. And she's like, ooh, you know how, it's just good. I grabbed her wrist and said, never again. And I got real hyper and excited because I was having fun in the moment. It was just exciting. God's are so good. And she shrieked and made funny noises and all that. And who knows that that's all fine. And it's Jesus.
Right.
So I turned, I prayed for the boy, and then I get to the girl, and I say, honey, how can I pray for you? He says, well, I had TMJ several years ago, and I was so young, they couldn't do anything about that. It just got so bad, and my bone sealed shut, and there's no joint anymore, and it's all calcium deposits in there. Mr. South, she's talking her teeth, and she said, and they're going to wait till I'm 19 years old or 20 and all done growing, and they're going to break it. and da 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 da. And I'm like, oh, that's like suffering. This is tough. Her teeth are just barely open. And her talking wasn't even as clear as mine because her teeth was, if you close your teeth, you can talk clearer than if you just open them a quarter inch. You try it sometime. You can't. And see, now you're all going to be trying that when you go home. Read it out in the corner. Now, spouses, don't talk to each other that way. You'll think you're mad at each other. You'll, you shouldn't have took me to the church. The guy wasn't. They were feeding her with a rubber baby spoon, pureed food. She would slurp it off the spoon. Lived every day like that. No joint. It's cemented. It calcium deposits. It sealed. It seamed. It was all solid bone. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Because of the pressure, this jaw over here, the joint, boom, popped out. So she had great pain on this side. She's standing there talking like this, and I'm like, wow, compassion. And I said, well, honey, we're going to pray. And all of a sudden it hit me. If God could breathe in a pile of dirt,
yes,
and it jump up a man,
right,
come on, watch. Sometimes you just got to be simple. Duh, right?
Instead of, you know.
Go ahead and be simple. I dare you. Be simple and be used by God, okay? Because he said, in my spirit, if he can breathe in a pile of dirt and it jumped, come on, we great God-fearing Christians all say we believe God breathed into dirt and it jumped up a man. We better believe it. The Bible teaches it. But think about it. A brain, the human anatomy, bones, lungs, blood, every cell of the human body, one breath from the master.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. A man. You gotta think on this stuff and let it brainwash you. Take every ounce of unbelief out of you. Because he's exceedingly, abundantly above what we ask or think. I looked at that little girl, I said, I just got silly. I wasn't serious anymore. When I saw that, I just giggled like a hyena. I laughed. I said, honey, if God can breathe in a pile of dirt and jump up a man, he can fix your jaw. And I took two fingers like this and touched her. And I said, Father, and that's all I got to say. All I got out was Father. And I felt her jaw go right under my fingers. Just snap, cracked, like if you'd have just... And I got more silly and I laughed. I said, honey, God just broke your jaw. She said, and her eyes filled up with tears.
Yeah.
Happened right in Hershey, Phil Capuccio's church. Phil and Karen, good people. You know Phil and Karen, you guys know them? Phil's standing, you know Phil. Phil's standing there going, praise God, glory to God. Hallelujah. He's just a great guy because he knows God's moving. And I said, does it hurt? She says, no. I says, why are you crying? Because I felt it. She felt a crack. And then it hit me again. The same principle, if God could breathe. I said, honey, he didn't break your jaw to leave it broke. He's putting the joint in there just to open your mouth. And she went,
yeah.
Yeah,
God.
Yeah. Totally healed and restored by the power of the name of Jesus. Yeah. Do you remember coming to church? The following week, she came to our congregation. The following Sunday, they had no Sunday morning service. The following week, she came to where we were because I was at another assembly. She came there with her mother, and I was leading the service that morning, and I spotted her back, and I went, hey, hey. And she waved and her mom waved and I went, and everybody's looking like, oh, well, he knows somebody. And I'm like that. If I see you, see me do that up here. I just see somebody. Look, it's real. We're not up here. I'm not performing. Okay. Duh. You know, I'm just a real guy. And if I see somebody I haven't seen for a while, I might say hi. And I just was like, and I went, and everybody's like, what is that? And, you know, I'm like, and she goes, and I said, get up here. And she come up with her mama and we just wept and worshiped Jesus. She told the testimony, 100% normal and healed. She went to school on Monday. John likes this part. He loves this part. She went to school on Monday and bought the alternative menu because she didn't like the main course. And guess what was on the alternative menu? One of those little 6-inch corn on the cobs. She took it. Her mom shared that at church and said, doesn't God have a sense of humor? He put the little corn on the cob on the school menu so my daughter could just ting, ting, ting. Watch how huge that is. Can I share what can be a problem? What can be a problem is we hear a testimony like that and our minds revert to things that haven't happened and what we haven't seen. But guess how I think? I saw a jaw healed and restored and a joint that wasn't there put in. I can't think about anything else now. I know it's possible. I already knew it was because the word said so. And I could have preached it with passion. But I saw it and experienced it. And it kind of marks you and brands you and messes you up. You're no good for nobody anymore in a certain sense. You know what I mean by that? Watch. I saw God break her jaw and put a joint in less than 60 seconds. We get so fixed on and deceived in the body saying, but what about the one that didn't? And I'm saying, what about the one that did? Watch this. Watch this. Let me stretch this. You pray for 5 people that have cancer and they die. And we pray for one that lives and we feel like we're losing. No, you're winning because you're still praying and reaching out and now you saw one heal. And now you go, whoa, it can happen and it's going to happen. It's got to happen. It's going to keep happening. And you keep on praying. You see, you get it? Or common sense and rationale and human reasoning is going to slip in there and say, well, yeah, but you know, maybe the next one, you know. Look, when I pray for somebody, I could have prayed for 10 people in that same situation and seen nothing. But I've seen people respond and healed in the situation, but I might have seen 10 people and they're not even on my mind. It's the one that did that's on my mind. Do you understand? You know why that's so important, praying for the sick? If not, you're like playing odds or wishing, you're hoping, and you're just hoping to get a breakthrough. That's not faith. Faith is fully convinced. Faith means to be fully convinced, to believe. These signs shall follow those who believe means fully convinced. Do you know how critical it is to have an absolute, fully convinced mindset when you get into these situations and you can't be thinking all this stuff we've been saying in the body of Christ? God's timing, God allows, God works in mysterious ways, da 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 da. Because if you interject those thoughts in the situation that demands the revelation of Jesus and the will of God revealed through the believer, if you enter in all those things, you've just shipwrecked your faith. And now you're trying to get a breakthrough and you're trying to get results and you're hoping God responds. You just can't go there. I recently prayed for a little girl with him and the family made a decision to pull the plug. He was on the phone weeping with me and I was real quiet because he heard the same thing I heard. It had nothing to do with the family's decision. We had the right and the privilege and the doorway to touch that girl. And we both realize we need more of God.
Yeah.
That's what we both realize. Had nothing to do with the family. And that's taking responsibility. Not condemned. Just taking this thing serious. Because you know what we both know? There's a way to touch her and she lives.
That's right.
And don't get political with it. We represent Jesus. We all know if Jesus walked in there and touched her, she'd have jumped up.
That's right.
Guess where Jesus is? We represent him. Don't push this thing off on some petty other thing. Well, the family was in unbelief. Well, you know, they were talking negativity in the room. All you're saying is that the things in another realm are more powerful than what we serve. We serve God. Well, you know that one aunt keeps coming in and speaking death. But we went in and spoke life.
That's right. Yeah.
Why do we let her death be greater than our life? I am coming now. I'm ready to go with this. Because we do it all the time, people, and it justifies our weakness and powerlessness, and it never stirs us to seek him more. So if we can just have the perfect scenario and bar the room and keep everybody out that doesn't qualify, we just might see a powerful move of God. Our hearts need to be brighter. Your heart needs to be brighter. So does mine. Do you know what I did? I ran right back into the hospital 2 days ago and got my hands on the little girl with infection in her brain. Almost the same kind of sounding kind of. In Jesus' name. You hearing what I'm saying? You don't get in condemnation and say, oh, I can't believe, and muddle for 3-4 days and be no good for nothing. Fall back and take 4 weeks to even get. I went in my bedroom. Got on my knees. I count it a great privilege that you left me in that room. I fall on your mercy. I ask your blessing upon that family. And God, my number one request is consume me and overtake me. I need more of you. I want to rightly represent you. And I want to destroy the voice of religion by the presence and power of God in my life. And I want to reveal your glory to all men. Jesus was so consumed, he was the truth, that he could say when nobody else could do it, he said, bring the boy to me.
Come on, that's right.
And we, this isn't blasphemy, folks. We are Christ on the earth. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Don't get theological. Don't grab for straws. Don't get yourself confused. You look at Jesus. You get it? And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to pray for the sick. Now to him who is able to what? Exceedingly abundantly above, do all that we ask, think. Some Bibles say imagine. According to the power that worketh where? You see why we want to pray for the sick? Because the Bible says pray for the sick. The kingdom of God is at hand. If you can give me, don't laugh, Randy. If you can give me 5 minutes, I want to go to... Should I have said Randy and Peter? Don't laugh, Randy and Peter. Since I didn't, you laughed. John 3, he said it in the beginning, Pastor Don. And I just want you to look at it real quick. I won't be long with it. It's just a simple thought, but it's profound. It's quick. What I mean by simple is it's easy to establish. What did you say? Nick by night. Nick at night. Nicodemus slipping in at nighttime. So verse 1, Nick came at night. Right? Verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, now look, we know you're a teacher come from God. Not because of the great sermons you teach, but because of the things you do. Whoa, that's heavy. You see that in your Bible? That's there, isn't it? We know you're a teacher come from God, not because of the profoundness of your words, but the backing of those words by God. Is that in your Bible?
Yeah.
Let me just read it the way it says it. I'm just explaining it. We know you're a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Meaning unless God is doing it through you. Okay. Do you know Hebrews 2 says that how shall we escape if we neglect a salvation as great as this? If we neglect it? And then it says that in verse 4, well, it says that the gospel came first being spoken and revealed by the Lord. The kingdom of God is at hand. He was telling us to repent. And then he'd say, the kingdom of God's at hand. Now go. And what would he say every time? Heal the sick. Why? Because it's not of God. A house divided against itself can't stand. Jesus said, look, I brought my kingdom. It's on the earth. Now go and make things right. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, and raise the dead. It's the will of God. It's just so simple. We've muddied it up so bad because we walked in so little power. And we've tried to say the gifts aren't for today and all that stuff. Yeah, you'll be all right. You will. God's changing things. Nobody could do these things. See, I like that. Remember what he said? He got up and remember what he asked me to. Oh, no, that was Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. But what is it? 1 Corinthians 4:20. He's been really liking that scripture. He shared it earlier. The kingdom of God is, it's not in word, but in power. Bang. Okay? We have been satisfied by good preaching. Good word today, brother. Boy, I can't wait to come back tomorrow and hear the rest, or next week, or whatever. Paul said, I didn't come with the eloquence of speech. I came in the demonstration of power. And the reason is so that your faith doesn't rest in my ability to speak, but God's ability to move through what we speak. God's power. Okay? I don't know if I can. It was just so flowing. Let me download. Oh, that's a computer term, isn't it? Cast it out of me, Peter. I'm not a computer guy. I'm really not. Okay, I'm having fun and it's late. Forgive me. Come on. I blew my 5 minutes already. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God. Now look. Jesus's response is phenomenal to me. I don't know how we'd respond if a man come up to us and say, Pastor Don, you are anointed and ordained from God. You are right in the will of God because no one could be flowing in ministry like you are unless God be with him. And I don't know how we'd respond, but you know, bless you, brother. We'll thank you. Continue to pray because we want more of God. I don't know how we'd respond. There's many ways. Oh, you really think so? Go tell everybody. Send them to church. No. Listen to what Jesus said. Here's a man, because Jesus is an example to follow. He's the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is a precedent setter. He's got the baton. We said all this in the beginning. You guys did. It was good. Nicodemus comes and says, whoa, you're the man called from God. You're a teacher from God, and it's obvious because nobody could do these things. And Jesus says, for truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What did he quickly say? All you're seeing, Nicodemus, through my life is the kingdom of God is on the earth, and if you get born again, you will see it too. Through your life. He didn't mean he won't recognize it because Nicodemus already recognized it. But what he was saying is, what I'm doing, you can do if you enter into my kingdom and get born again. The burning heartbeat of Jesus is exemplified right there. The motive of God through his son is exemplified right there. He comes and he's like, whoa, you don't teach like any of the scribes and Pharisees. I mean, and God is backing you, man. And what he's saying is, you know what? You get on the right team. You come on over here with me. God will back you too. And then he says it later in John, doesn't he? If you believe in me, what you see me do, you'll do it too. And greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. I'm just going to have to ask this question because it's up here in my spirit. I'm not being negative. Why is that so hard to understand in the church? Why do we fight over this stuff? It's just so clear. It's the words of the Lord. True? Who here tonight knows, not a trick question, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know you're born again. You shall see the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. We're going to pray for the sick because it's the will of God to pray for the sick. It's the will of God to pray for the sick because when he sent his disciples out, he said, tell them the kingdom of God's at hand and heal the sick. Psalm says, don't forget his benefits. He forgives our sin and heals all our diseases. Psalms 107 says they cried out in their distresses and the Lord heard their cry and he sent his word and healed them. It doesn't even say to heal them. He sent his word and healed them. The reason it's so important to grab a hold of what we're talking about here tonight, I didn't talk about the actual precept of healing so much tonight as just walking with God and getting on the right page. 1 Peter 2 is really in my heart right now. It says that Jesus died on a cross, taking our body, our sins into his body on a tree. Our sins in his body on a tree. That we, having died to those sins, might live unto righteousness. That means right with God. Dash, by his stripes, we're healed. Amen. When you come into the kingdom and switch camps, anything that your sin brought into your life, anything that you're carrying because of living in the world and being of it, is destroyed through the righteous judgment of God. When you accept and embrace your right standing with God and the righteous judgment of God and your righteous identity as being a man free from sin, as if he's never sinned, never eaten the tree. Who knows, the tree's still there and the command still stands and the whisperings are still there. Just don't eat the tree. You get it? Yeah. We got to pray. There's just so much. Let me repeat this. That we might live for righteousness. Dash, by his stripes, you are healed. Is it the will of God for us to be healed? It's the direct result of righteousness. It's right there. He didn't just put that in there happenstance. Dash. You're healed because you're right. Whoever struggled, be honest. This isn't a sign of weakness. In your Christian life, who has ever, this doesn't mean you're doing it today, in the past, who has ever struggled with guilt, condemnation, and shame after you were saved? After you were saved. Now, really be honest. Lift your hands high. It doesn't mean you're doing that now. Some of you might, but I want you to look around and look how many hands are up. Do you know why? Because that is Satan's key deception point. Watch this. Watch. I know you feel condemned when you're struggling with condemnation, but it's impossible to be condemned because the Bible says there's no condemnation. But I feel, doesn't matter how you feel. The word says I'm not condemned. I can't be condemned. Condemnation is a lie. And I'll never be condemned again. At the risk of sounding presumptuous, God has given me that revelation since day one, and I have never struggled with condemnation, ever. I don't know a moment when I felt condemned. Praise God. That's why I'm flaky a lot. That's why I'm happy. Whoever saw me happy? You know why? I'm not condemned. I'm accepted in the Beloved. And Jesus is my King, and Father loves me. You see why we struggle with guilt, condemnation, and shame? Because it cuts into your righteous identity and freezes your ability to receive what is rightfully yours and given through the blood and name of Jesus. That we, having died to sin, might live unto righteousness, dash, by stripes were you. That we might live under condemnation, dash, and things linger and remain. You getting it? The righteous revelation of this gospel has the power to liberate you completely. I shared that so clear one night, and lady had HIV. And I said to her, are your sins forgiven? And she said, yes. I said, then be healed. I never touched her. Never touched her and prayed. Are your sins forgiven? Yes. Then be healed. Now, I said that in the revelation of what I was preaching. Prayed for some other folks and touched them. She said, as soon as I said that and walked away, heat just poured all over her. And she just stood there. Whoa. She was so sure something happened that on Monday, she went to her doctor and had him run full blood tests. There's no trace of HIV and never has been since that day. That's awesome.
There is a cure.
What's easier to say, son? Your sins are forgiven, arise and walk. But just to show you the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, walk. The forgiveness of sin is the same grace as healing. Watch. To be forgiven is to be healed. To be healed is to be forgiven. You say, where's that? James 5. Is any among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church. Have him anoint you with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if they've committed sin, that'll be forgiven too. Come on. That's right. Healing is it's the same. You don't take the wine without the bread. You don't take the bread without the wine. You eat of the flesh and you drink of the blood of the Master and receive life. Oh, man. You get it? I want everybody that came with sickness in your body and you want prayer for healing, I want you to come on up. I'm not going to pray for you myself tonight. We're all going to pray for you. But I want you to come up here. If you came with sickness, what is this, man? Anybody that came for prayer for sickness in your body, I want you to come up here tonight. Please don't be bashful, don't be shy.